the mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of this whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seeds in it. They will be your food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give everything, every green plant of food, and it was so. God saw all that he had made and was very good. Then there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. I invite Izumi to come up. Let's pray for Izumi. Dear Father God, thank you for the passage you brought us today. Thank you that you made us the image of your own. Be with your servant Izumi as she bring your words to us. Fill her with your spirit and make us understand your words and eager to obey it. Pray those in your holy son's name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Here we go. Oh.
It's very loud. My name is Izumi Araki. Good morning, everybody. It wasn't intentional to choose this passage with this background. I was a little bit shocked hearing the passage with this. And also, I wasn't thinking that I actually match really well with my outfit, with this background. And Karen was saying that I look like a rock, and it's like, you know, in this background. So that if you're not praising God, the rock can praise it, you know, praise God for you. So it probably very much fitting to the whole theme. Very unintentional, but I'm just finding that this is part of that message I wanted to talk about today, that how much God put things together in a beautiful way, even sometimes unintentional. As I said, I wasn't thinking that the background is going to be like this and reading the Genesis 1. How appropriate is that? But that is God's beauty. That's how God creates things nowadays, in these days, every day, every moment of our life. Today, I'm talking about this topic of the making and culture. And as I was introduced, as I am a supported missionary from this church, and some of you who doesn't know what I do and wondering where I go, my work is here. I don't go, I came here to be a missionary. In fact, I came here as a student, to study in Regent. But I tell you, what I'm doing now, I did it from day one. I didn't do ministry because I became missionary. While I'm doing that, what I do right now, from day one I came, somehow God decided to call me missionary. So if you are thinking that I do so-called mission work because I'm a missionary as occupation, it's not so. Whether I am a missionary or not, whether I am so-called professional, I will do the same thing. I will do exactly the same thing. Because the pastor I usually meet when I return to Japan, knowing me from like 18, if you want to know how old I am, it's a long time ago. Since I was wearing the school, you know, school uniform, he knew me, and he said, don't you think that Izumi is doing the same thing as long as we know her? Since she came to the Sunday school, she was doing the same thing. Which is, I make and I create. And it sounds as if that the mission work and the making doesn't really correlate together. And I hope I can somehow help you to understand how does it tightly connected that creating or making things like this is tightly connected to sharing God's story. So I want to talk about culture. And the topic of culture is so broad and so big. And what I wanted to talk about is I've been thinking about it, probably I'm pondering and researching and trying to understand what it is since I was probably 18, as he said, that it's really hard for me to put it together like this, condense it in very, very short time. So it's going to be a bullet train. Are you ready? You're riding the bullet train. If you want to see the little tiny, tiny little station, we are not going to stop there. So that it's going to be very fast. It's going to be broad. It's going to be just a framework. But I hope that this is going to be somehow inspire you to start to have this journey with me to think about what on earth is a culture. Now, in order to think about this, knowing me as ESL, how can you guess? Then I used the dictionary. This time I used beloved Oxford Dictionary. And there's a lot of definitions. But I discovered that Oxford Dictionary, whoever made it, is absolutely genius because they start the definition from the old usage. So when you see that, you actually see that how the language changes. Now, the primal meaning of the culture is a cultivation of land. It's nothing to do with ethnicity. It's nothing to do with, like, what we do and how we do, which language we speak, or, like, how we view the world. It's simply talking about agricultural word or cultivation of land, and it goes on to the biology. And then, next, the extended usage. And it goes like development mind, and then it goes to about taste and art, and then you go what? To something about ethnicity. And in fact, it's very, very new usage of when we use the culture as now talking about, oh, your culture is different. Because as I came from Japan, and we talk about all the time about different cultures, saying we use chopsticks and you use knife and fork, we eat rice and you eat bread, we use more soy sauce and you use probably more ketchup. We talk about the culture all the time, especially in Vancouver, especially in these settings. But it is a very new definition if you're looking at the word. So that if this is a stream of the language that the word meaning has been moved within the God's plan, we probably should think about the culture as something defined, something which is like having a boundary of differences and seeing that you're different than me, and that's interesting, I don't really like that. Instead of thinking that how culture we're living in as cultivating thing. How do we cultivate? Like here, when you look around, this church is so blessed. Because when I'm singing here, and some of you don't know, I usually sing that end. I usually sing that end usually and sing. When I see the people singing and praising, I always think of heaven. When I'm sitting there, seeing that communion table, all the server comes up, I always think of heaven because it's all nation comes here, which means that we're encountering so-called different culture. And how are we dealing with that? Are we seeing that differences and saying that I don't understand? Or you knowing that it's different, now I have to change to be the same? Or is the differences problem? Or is that enriching and embracing? What the passage we read today, somehow in my mind it was Genesis 2. So the next one is say Genesis 2, but it's 1. So it's talking about God created us in his image. So that if we are made in his image, we can see that two things in there I would like to highlight. It's one thing is God is already making, because we're on the sixth day, he's already making things, and now he says, okay, let's make human. So we are made in his likeness of him who is making. So we are made in the midst of the process of making things. And he made us in his image of our image, not my image. Or his image, our image. So that the making is expression of who you are. So what we make is expression of who you are. And we make because God is making God. God makes things. So we are made as his image. Therefore, we cannot help making. Now, as I said, we always talk about the culture, like here, we have different language and not everybody is the first language is English, and maybe, you know, just came here and surprised that actually the people are not wearing suits in the church. I'm not joking. There's a lot of differences, right? But in some ways, we can learn, we can cultivate us to expand understanding of how God made things good, and also us being as a different nation, being like expression of God in certain form, say like Japan, where I came from, Japanese, God made Japanese, I hope so, the God made Japanese in particular way to speak particular language and have particular grammatical system and some draw to the beauty and draw to some of the things. It's very particular. When you think of that, we are made in particular way to draw into as a nation and speak that language. Therefore, we have certain way to engage to the gospel, the scripture. And I was talking to some of the people that how we as Japanese as overwhelmed to see that when Jesus called, he called his disciples saying, oh, wait, today, from today, I'm your friend. It's an overwhelming fact to us. Because when my student comes here and we become really good friends, and they use honorable term all the time because I'm older and I'm bossy and I probably know better than the other people, some of the things. So they always use honorable term. When I go to somewhere else and they say, oh, so what is the relationship with you and this person? They just don't know what to say. Because I'm not the teacher. I'm not the mother. I'm not the auntie. I'm not, you know, I don't place myself to their world or like their relationship in a school system that I don't have a terminology. And they get like, she is, I always say to the other person that this is my friend, about my student. Oh, this is my friend. So. They go like, no. You can't say that. No. How can you say that I'm your friend? You do so much. And how on earth you can call me friend? And I say, well, I am your friend. Yeah, I cook probably more than you, for you. But I'm still your friend. and they get very much overwhelmed. So somebody who's doing for you so much, somebody you respect, you don't expect the other person to call you friend. And if somebody's going to call you friend from that position, you're literally overwhelmed of that kindness and generosity and that invitation to be that close. Seeing you as a friend is something unbelievable. So that's how we read some of the Gospels, some of the part of the Gospels. We engage such ways. And if you're coming from a different country, I am sure there is a particular way you engage in, draw into, and go into the depth of that message. There's a ways you engage into that beauty of who he is, and we can learn from them. What really means, who is he, the God who created beautiful things, and he cannot help make good and beautiful. How can we draw into that? We have massive opportunity in this community to learn that, to hearing that, how they engage to the scripture and how they go into the depth. How about that? So that when we do that, we are entering into, we're creating this culture in between us and this church of diverse and rich, and instead of being like trying to be monoculture of University Chapel, to try to get rid of all the differences and trying to find the something which is similar and say, well, this is what we are. No, we're expanding. So that one slide before, I put the word oishi, which is the Chinese character you use, so that for some of the Chinese friend can probably guess the meaning is the tasty, but it's a meaning of beautiful taste. That's how we write for tasty. Taste beautiful. So when you think about taste beautiful, what's that mean? If it's tasty, that if the taste is good, probably it's good enough. But if it have to be beautiful in the taste, or the atmosphere, or the who you're eating with, how you're eating with, all that thing together become very, very important. It's not only the taste saying this is salty enough or sugary enough. Whom you're eating with, where you're eating, how it's been served, mean a lot of difference. If one is lacking, it's not beautiful anymore. And it is amazing that how our heart draws into that beauty. We cannot help seeking and wanting and hoping to see good and beautiful. And God we worship here is the God who makes only can make good and beautiful. He cannot help making good and beautiful because that's who he is. So the question is, what are we being called to do in that? Can you go to the next? Thank you for changing the Genesis 1 now. So we cannot run away, or give up making, because he is the one who makes. So when we started to talking to somebody, we are actually making something. We start making relationship and friendship. When, especially like when you're sharing the space, you are making certain culture, because now you can't wait your dish to be washed next 3 days. You'll probably be complained. You can't leave your sock on the couch until Monday. Probably you've been complained. Now you have to learn how to fold in different way, because the other person is very much getting on nerve that you're not putting the corner together. It's a new culture. right? Especially the people who's married, I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. I'm a happy single, so I don't have to go through that. But you probably learn how to learn the other person's culture, right? So you are making culture in a ground level every day. Can you go to the next? So we are made in the image of divine artist, so that's our part of DNA. So when I say we are all artists, a lot of people say, well, I don't make things. I'm not good at drawing. I'm not good at singing. I'm not good at this and that. When we say that we are all artists, I'm not saying that you're a commercial artist and you have to live on that, that's your profession. We are artists because we're drawn to the beautiful thing, right? And we hope to make something beautiful. We hope to make something good. When you cook the dinner, does anybody want to make really horrible dinner that you can't eat on purposely? Nobody wants to do that. It's waste too, right? You dare hope to make something really good taste. You really hope that your house is tidy, which I do. You dare hope that whole thing, the relationship you build with others, would be good. It is a part of work of art that you want to make something good and beautiful. Of course, you might ask about definition of beauty and good, but you know that's going to be another topic to talk and probably like several topics to talk about. Now, the next problem is we cannot be out of relationship and we cannot get out and run away and give up of being a culture too. Because you cannot get out from the relationship. So, how can we live like that? If we can't get out, we can't run away, we can't give up, it's better to face it. Better to think about it. If you can't, you know, you can't forget about it and saying that, well, I have nothing to do with culture. Culture is something outside of the church. We just make our own culture within the church. Let's huddle. And if you're not going out from the church and going back home, it may work. But it probably won't because you have to go to the grocery shop anyways. And you encounter somebody and start to talk. And once you start doing that, you're bringing something new, something beautiful, hopefully, the culture you have from God. Let's go to the next. So, if we can't run away, what we can do? Because what we do, what we say, how we move is reflecting something. So you're sharing some of your space and creating the culture, and you are part of that. So the scripture we read today is talking about how God created us as a God's image bearer. We are made in His image. So how we become that image is going to make a lot of difference. So that the transformation God, that Jesus can do to us is making a lot of difference between you and your colleague or your neighbor to talk, because you're bringing there as what you have as a culture. In John chapter 1, it says that Jesus came to this earth as like a word. The word became flesh. Word became fresh. The word we always use as a communication, that it's embodied God's word. And if we are called to become Christ likeness, that we also participate to that language. So, we can say that Jesus brought the kingdom culture as the language. We could probably say that. God is three in one. They are in a perfect unity, and they are having this like relationship. And if the relationship is the beginning of the culture, and God, Jesus coming to this world as language, he is bringing that culture, the kingdom culture. Go to the next. So that we talk about shalom all the time. It's as if it's like the mere image or like the word or something which hope for, but it's a real thing. It's the culture for there from you. When you're transformed every day by Holy Spirit. That a lot of times that evangelism has been, I feel, that has been simplified as ism. And it become like somebody who's assigned to do it. And if you're not assigned to do it, you don't have to do it, probably. Or sometimes the evangelism become how many times you give the apologetics. Or how many times you defeated the other person and saying, you're right, I'm wrong. Or how many times you pointed out that, you know, our thoughts and our way of life is better than yours. This is what I think. Evangelism, we call, is not the simple ism. Evangelism is the very act of sharing God's culture. It's the very act of bringing kingdom culture. It doesn't really matter if the other person doesn't want to know about Christ. It doesn't matter if the other person doesn't want to come to church. Are you still willing to share that kingdom culture with the other person? If you don't see what you want to see, if you don't hear what you want to hear, God is patient. God is kind. And God is in control. We prayerfully walk with other person, share the culture. We make culture together. By doing so, one day, hopefully, they might ask you the question, why you live like that? Why you think like that? By seeing them as being transformed daily, they might ask you, why you're so happy? You never know. But unless we let ourselves being changed, why do you think the other person is going to change, willing to change, or want to be changed? If our transformation, our being with Christ, being changed and become image bearer, is not something gives you joy and excitement, finding God's beauty every day is not making you excited and filled with joy, why the other person want to be changed? So it's not a technique. And I hope and I pray that us being called as full-time worker is one of the inspiration to you. If the Paul was the only person who is reaching out to the Gentiles, I don't think we are here. Because you know the one person, well, how many people you can meet one person and having a really good relationship with the people is quite limited. If we're not inspiring you how to live the kingdom life, and if you're not inspiring you to to have this joy of sharing this kingdom culture, we are fading. And I apologize for that. But I do pray and hope that somehow when you see the student sitting next to you from UBC and saying that I have no idea why I came to church, that would be inspiration to you. And I ask you, who is your neighbor? Now, it's all good and beautiful, and yeah, we don't have any problem with all that, you know, issues of our life, it probably, yeah, isn't me, that's very much idealistic. But I'm not really sure for that, because I have lots of problems, I'm not perfect, but, and I don't have magic wand to make people want to know about Christ or like want to read the Bible. But at least I can think with you and walk with you and probably to be able to pray with you that how to live in our calling to live in a kingdom culture. Let's go to the next. This is what I heard. This is one of the things I heard last week while I was in N.T. Wright's class, and I was very much appreciated. It was very appreciating word. He said, we are the agents of culture of heaven. The question is, how are we going to live in that? So, kind of like, I just wanted to ask you the question, that who is your neighbor, and I do want you to think about it seriously, so that if you have somebody in your head that who is your neighbor outside of this church. So this, supposedly, somebody's heart, and probably your heart, it's not drinkable, it's not quite attractive. And when you have water, if it doesn't go in, if it's not transforming anything, it stays dark. So your culture is still the same. But something you're leading, you know, putting a lid onto that to provide, avoiding to be changed and transformed, you need to ask Jesus to take it away. And when that happens, when the pulling love coming into that very place and transform you, deity, and one day it became different. And now, what is coming out from this? Is a clean water, which I can drink. The question is, which kind of water do you want to share to your neighbor? In order to do that, where about in your heart need to be changed and transformed? The Christian faith is not only a matter of heart and intellect. It's whole thing. You breathe in and out. What you eat matters. When we take communion, the bread and wine is not only the mere symbol of cross, so you've been forgiven. Eating is the most intimate thing you can do. It goes into your body and it goes to your cell. So that when you're receiving that Christ every week, and taking that communion, and taking in, isn't that reassurance that God is with you? And He'll send it out from there with massive encouragement. Nothing can separate you from there. Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to start sharing the kingdom culture? Do you want to make the culture of beauty and goodness? That where that bearing fruit of the Spirit, full of kindness, patience, love, generosity, having a started to making that relationship and friendship is act of hospitality. That's the beginning of hospitality, isn't it? Saying good morning to your neighbor. I'd love you to think about one person's face, or two, more than two, it doesn't matter, but at least one person's face in your head. Who is your neighbor? And ask God, how can you bring that, how can you start making this culture together as an image bearer? Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a great and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, Go therefore and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you created us in such way. And Jesus, you gave us this immense opportunity. And the way that we can become God's image bearer as you made us in the first place. Thank you for the work of restoration by us living in this world. Lord, help us to be able to share your kingdom by doing so, that the culture we live in society will be restored, so that whole culture become your image bearer. So Lord, I pray that help us to be able to willing to be transformed by you, willing to be touched by you, and willing to be changed, so that we can bring that the work of restoration as excitement, as daily life to others. So Lord, help us to be able to live well with the neighbors, love them well, be kind to them well, and help us to be able to make good culture together with our neighbors. In Jesus' name I pray.